hear that we're dedicating our gorgeous new piano today. And in our meditation, we're going to have four different people come up and speak. And we're promising to try to keep it short. But we're touching on music and how it affects us in our lives and how it came to do that. And so I'd like to ask Marilyn to come up.
So if I just talk like this, you can hear me? Wow. Good. Okay. Well, you might think I have a lot to say, because I could say a lot about music, but that's not a talking point. Anyway, when I was about, I would guess about five, I was small, this piano literally wandered into our house by way of my father and a bunch of neighbors. My sister had been learning to play piano with at a neighbor's, and she played, you know, these beginning books, a wonderful piece called Runaway River. I wouldn't know how to tell you how much effect this piece has had upon my life. It did something interesting. The hands wound around each other, and I thought that was the most stunning thing I had ever heard in all my life. This little Runaway River out of John Thompson, book one. And I had to do that. I absolutely had to do that. And I wiggled my fingers every imaginable way on that piano to get Runaway River to come out. And it just didn't do it. And I tried and tried and tried. I had no idea what you did. But I needed that to come out. And I think finally, I'm not sure because this is a long, 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 long time ago. But at some point, I remember my mother telling me, look, this is middle C and the next note up is D and like that. And I said, oh, and then I read music and lo and behold, I read Runaway River and I still like it. It's supposed to show my taste is suspect at times. I didn't get lessons. This was a very Swedish family who didn't believe in little things like that. How we got a piano, I'll never know, but I'm exceedingly grateful. I used to walk. I lived quite a ways from school, and I walked home with several kids who were taking piano lessons. And I would stop at their houses and practice their lessons. And I don't know if it did them any good, but I liked it. And so this went on. I got a few lessons from a cousin when I was 10. And about the time I was 13, I was part of a very large musical clan. And it was a very musical clan. And there was an old Auntie Gunnhild who was watching over me. And she told my parents, you get that child to Wilbur. Now, Wilbur was the local piano teacher for the Swedish clan. And so I went to Wilbur and played the pieces that I thought I knew. And the next week he grabbed them away and he said, why didn't you tell me you played the piano? Well, I guess I did. He handed me Moonlight Sonata with its four sharps, which I played without any problem. And it was the start. I loved that. I still absolutely love that piece. From then on, Wilbur hung on to me while I played everything I could think of to play, and very grateful. He moved to Norway in 2 years, and I got another Swedish piano teacher who calmed me down a little bit. And when I went off to college, there was no way I could have majored in piano. I mean, my folks would have been, you want to do what? I mean, they were kind of bothered by me anyway. So the long story short is that, I was married and had a family, and we started going to this little church in Linwood, and I became the church pianist. And somehow, by being the church pianist, people thought I needed to teach their kids. So they started me sending me children. I thought, why are you doing that? And but I tried, and I was absolutely fascinated by it. So I became a piano teacher. When I was in college, of course, there was no way. I said I couldn't. My degree was in psychology and in elementary education, which helped, I think, the teaching because I understood a lot about it. And then we moved over here at some point, and I did. I was played piano and organ over here, and more students came. And this is really, I just looked at my pile of 3x5 cards or whatever it is, and this is about how many piano students I've had. It doesn't include the ones before I moved here, and it doesn't include the few that I still have. I'm retiring by attrition. A couple of things about that that I've learned. Playing a musical instrument is about the biggest workout you can give your brain. And I know that that's been shown. And I think piano must be about the top of that because everything is going. Just both hands are going and they're going this direction, which is partly what I like about it. I'm musically driven. We had a teacher at a music teachers conference I went to, and she said, she didn't talk about gifted kids. She said, musically driven people. And I think that that's a really interesting way to look at it. She says, about 10% of your students are musically driven. She says, I'm going to talk about the other child, the other ones. But because the music-driven ones, they sort of take care of themselves, I think. To me, music is an expressive medium. Its first job is to be expressive. It plays. It plays. If I have a piano in a room, I feel better. I'm scared of being ever sent to a nursing home if there won't be a piano nearby so that I can look at that and feel much better. Music plays your sorrows. It plays your sadnesses. It plays your happiness. It is expressive medium. I'm not very competitive, by the way. I think that's why I don't like focusing on who's best in music teachers. I think all my children have a chance to get to play and to do what it is that they need to do. And I want to give them, more than anything else, an expressive medium for their lives. That's my goal. And hopefully, at least with some of them, I've succeeded. This, by the way, is about 260 cards. So some of those I hope still play and are still enjoying this. In church, I think about how music impacts. I think about the prelude. What do I want to give you during a prelude? Which is a quiet time to meditate, you know, for the most part. I think of the offertory as a time to cheer you up with a little bit of happy music because I know the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And hymns, I have strong feelings about hymns that they need. Ministers are such verbal people, you know, they're just so verbal. And they like to look closely at what the words are saying. I want to know what the tune is doing. And that the tune is one that you like to sing, you know, that's a big deal to me. And so once in a while we get into arguments about that, when they just think the words are so important. And they are, because, by the way, you know words, you memorize faster if something is to a tune. You might have noticed that. You just pick up things much faster when they're to a tune. So I look at that, the hymns, all these things are just incredibly important to me. So I just am grateful for this life I've had where I get to have pianos. And this one is, I want to say a word about Steinways. I think I've had about 7 different piano teachers because I like to be told how I can even make this better. I've had about 7 of them, and I think at least 5 of them had Steinways. So I always thought a real piano sound was really a Steinway. This is a very, very beautiful instrument, and I'm delighted to be playing that. I have one at home. Some of you may remember Audrey Paulson, but she called me one day when she went here, this was a long time ago, about 1990, 91, and she called and said, Marilyn, I'm moving, and I don't want to take my Steinway anymore. Are you interested? And I said, I'll be right there. And my husband, when he came home, I said, Bill, I just bought a Steinway. And being Bill, he said, good. So enjoy this piano. I will enjoy this piano. And see, it wasn't so long, was it?
So I am quite the juxtaposition to Marilyn. I am quite possibly the least musically inclined person in this room.
Oh, no. Oh,
no. We can thumb wrestle for this status later, but I always feel very badly for those people who have to sit around me in church and listen to my singing. And I am unable to coax music from any instrument, and I've always said, on a really good day, I can play a CD. But please don't be confused. That's not to say that I don't appreciate music at all. I do believe my gifts lie elsewhere, though. As I was thinking about the gift of this piano, I started thinking back. I was not a person that grew up in a musical family, except for one place. At my grandparents' farm in New Jersey. And that farm still exists. As a matter of fact, it was preserved as a historical society, by the Historical Society, and it's now a museum. And I have not been back, but going there to my grandparents' farm, which was my great-grandparents before them, in the big dining room, there was always a piano against the wall. My grandmother didn't play. My grandfather didn't play, but my aunt, who was just 7 years younger than myself, Cindy, she was given music lessons from an early age, and I remember very distinctly being about 6 years old, and my sister would have been 8, and we drove 6 hours from New Hampshire down to the farm, and after being cooped up in a car for quite a while, we were very happy to get out at the farm where we could run around in the fields, and there was a teenager there. And we just worshiped any time that we could spend with Cindy. She did not allow us to call her Aunt Cindy. She was too young for that. And she was always wonderful with us. She would give us plenty of attention. And on a particular day, maybe it was raining, we went into the dining room and closed the doors, and my parents and my mother and grandparents were in the other room, and Cindy spent lots of time with us, playing the piano to little songs that we would know, where we sung heartily, probably badly, because my sister shares the same gifts I do. And I remember she played this song, which at that time I thought she had made up. Little did I know that it was a Henry Mancini tune, The Baby Elephant Walk. And she had us, I don't believe she forced us, I believe we were very willing participants. She had my sister and I parading around the dining room table, swinging trunks, acting as though we were little baby elephants. Now, why 50 years later do I remember this? It could have been that my grandparents and mother were invited in to see our little show, and they oohed and aahed. Maybe that was it. I don't know. maybe it was just because the piano was a way to spend time with a favorite person that I didn't get to spend much time with. Now, I'm sure that those concerts at the farm were repeated for several years. The other exposure I had to music in my early life was in elementary school. We had a music teacher, Mrs. Sykes. I found her to be quite frightening. I and most of the other children at Bakey Elementary School were afraid of her. In thinking back, she had this ginormous beehive hairdo. It must have made her like at least look a foot taller than she really was. And it was beyond my comprehension how her hair could defy gravity like that. I still don't have a clue. It's really not the important part. She sat at the piano, and we elementary school students were to sit there, and she harshly told us what to sing. And she told us no a lot. We didn't do it right. And she would play a little bit more firmly. And that wasn't a very pleasurable experience. Now, we also thought she was kind of creepy because none of us had ever seen her walk. We thought that she sat there and slept on the piano bench. She never got up from behind the piano, and we found that to be quite bothersome. But at church, the pianist was named Eunice Clark. And she was an older woman but did not have a beehive hairdo. I could understand how her hair worked. And she smiled when she played. And her hands would seemingly flit across that keyboard, dancing across the keys, as I've heard Marilyn say before. And she would get the children involved. And there at church, it was comfortable. I wasn't being told no. I was surrounded by people that I knew, people that knew my family and cared about me. Standing there every Sunday next to my mother, listening to hymns being played on the piano and singing, it made me feel comfortable. Just like the piano at the farm and spending time with my aunt, I was at home. To me, the sound of a piano playing, well, that's love.
Good morning. I'm not quite sure why Kelly asked me to speak. I've had some musical background, but mostly playing an instrument in band, which is just, you know, a saxophone, the easiest instrument to play. And I was the laziest saxophone player all through school. I took some lessons, but I really didn't like to practice, and I didn't like challenges, which we would have to see who's going to be first chair. So I was able to convince the director to give me the baritone saxophone. There was only one, so you couldn't have a challenge. So I was able to get all the way through the rest of high school without any challenges. I was at this church most of my life, and we always had a piano, but we had a lot of organ music, which the organ, to me, seems even tougher than the piano because there's more things to pull, and foot pedals, a lot of foot pedals, and I really don't know how they do it, but it's, it was nice music some of the time, but it was mostly hymns, and organ music kind of depressed me, so I was really glad when they did more piano, and we had a rather large choir that used to be up above there, were like three rows of people, and Vivian Robe was a choir director, and she was quite good. She played the piano sometimes, and when she did, she really wailed on that piano. She was pretty cool that way. But our choir now is, 6 to 8 people, and they're actually better than the ones who were up there. Even though, I had a lot of relatives that sang, and but this choir is better, and they work hard, and that's the part I appreciate. I realized early on that I couldn't sing. I had about a 4-note range, and that's it. And even though I've been married to someone, a vocalist, for almost 48 years this week, it didn't help me sing any better. But it did help me appreciate music. So I got to listen all these years to Janelle, and I got to listen to recently to the choir, because if you notice, I stand up there by the piano and don't do anything, but I'm turning pages for Marilyn, and
very important.
It's not that great, but mainly I have to turn the page on time and not drop the music in her lap, which I've done at practice, so it's important not to drop the music. But what I learn from being here is how much work it is to put together a piece that the choir does. And they practice now on Monday night for an hour. It seems longer than that sometimes. It really is a lot of work. I mean, they go through 2 or 3 pieces, and then they all go home and practice, and Marilyn practices, Kathy practices on the piano too for her pieces, and they show up on Sunday, practice again 2 or 3 times, and then you get to hear the end result, which is really quite good. So mainly I just want to say thanks for letting me listen all these years, and thank you for all the work you do, and thank you for playing the piano. The two pianists, if you ever haven't played a piano, it's too late now. It is. I took one lesson in one class in college, and I practiced for a quarter. I cannot get both hands to do things at the same time. It just doesn't work. So I really appreciate the pianists, and I just want to thank them. 3 minutes are up?
Yep.
All right, thank you.
Well, like Marilyn, I also started learning piano when I was little tiny kid, and my mom had an attitude that I later realized that was so good. She said, you could just take lessons as long as you want to take lessons. And so I took lessons and I practiced, but then I got tired of practicing and got tired of lessons after about 3 years and said I didn't want to take them anymore. And she says, that's fine. And then I sort of missed it. I would spend my time, going ahead, still playing some of the pieces that I had in my lessons, and they got a little boring. And so then I was an early teenager, maybe 12 or so, and I said, could I take lessons again? And she said, yep, just take them for as long as you want to. So I took them for another 3 years and had improved skill and I thought about at that time, should I go to college in music? And at that time, I was not aware of how much I didn't know. And also, I didn't want to do it as a job. I thought, that might take some of the joy out of it. And so I stopped taking lessons when I was a teenager. And still being a teenager, I played the piano a lot because I realized how much it could help me internally and touch the depths of my emotions. And when you're a teenager, you have a lot of emotions. And so then I left home, went away to school, couldn't take the piano with me, and got a career, moved around a lot, went to Alaska, went to Philadelphia and places in between, couldn't take a piano. But finally, it's like, I can't take this anymore. I've got all these emotions that have been building up in me for decades, and I need something. And so I got myself a little keyboard, and that sufficed. And then moved out here and got to know this church and decided, you know, I'm staying. And so I said to Mom, who was still in California, could we bring the piano up? And she said yes. And so I had my piano back. And it's almost like where your piano is, that's where home is. That's how it was for me. And so my piano is here. This is my home. I hope through music that I can touch your emotions, just like, you know, the playing the piano touches my emotions. You know, sometimes I'll get you to cry, and that's success. Sometimes I'll get myself to cry. That's a problem. But, you know, and it's almost like, you know, the music is not so much the words. It's not your mind. It touches your heart. And it's almost like a connection with the music of the universe. It's almost like a prayer, you know, speaking out to the spirit as to what you're feeling and that you have needs. And hopefully through the music, you know, you can connect with something greater than yourself.